Hello and welcome to another episode of Millennialism with me, Adam Gavin. Every week I sit down and chat and interview a guest about a topic that interests me at the moment. I've had entrepreneurs, award-winning authors, esteemed academics, pioneering filmmakers, TED speakers, philosophers, and a lot of friends come on the show to discuss everything from social media to health, business to culture, self-development to global travel. And I'm trying to collect an ever-growing list of fascinating subjects for everyone to explore. Usually great conversations sprinkled with some actionable insights on how to get the most out of your life. I post new episodes every Friday, so make sure to subscribe so you never miss a thing. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can do so on my website, adamgavin.com, or on Instagram at adamgavin. In China and Italy, the air is now strikingly clean. Venice's Grand Canal, normally fouled by boat traffic, is running clear. In Seattle, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Atlanta, the fog of pollution has lifted. Even global carbon emissions have fallen. To be clear, the coronavirus pandemic is obviously a tragedy, but this global crisis is also an inflection point for that other global crisis, the slower one with even higher stakes. I'm talking about climate change. It may seem odd, insensitive, or even irrelevant to some people to talk about climate change right now, but as the United Nations Secretary General recently noted, the threat from coronavirus is temporary, whereas the threat from the heat waves, floods, extreme storms, and droughts resulting in the loss of human life will remain with us for years, maybe forever. Today I'm joined by environmental communications student and sustainability advocate Clara Vessel. I think that's how she pronounces her name, at least. To discuss eco-anxiety, a term defined by the American Psychological Association as a chronic fear of environmental doom. It sounds very dark, but in a way it is. Worry about climate change is affecting people all over the world right now. But there are solutions that can help improve this anxiety and slow climate breakdown at the same time. We talk about this and our own double standards and how we can live more sustainable without compromising the quality of our lives. I know there's a lot of weird things going on in the world right now, but I actually think this global pandemic is a great opportunity for us all to learn more about these issues, make some changes, and reflect over how we want to live our lives, what responsibilities we have towards the planet, and what's actually important to us. So without any further ado, enjoy this episode with me and Clara Vessel. Clara, first, I just want to say thank you for coming on my show. Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
We met a couple of years ago on a bus ride in New Zealand, and we kind of stayed in touch since. And I know that you're studying environmental communication now, and there are certain things that I would like to talk to you about. So.
Yes.
I thought you'd be the perfect guest for this, for today. And even though we're going through this like weird times with a pandemic and everything, something that's not going away is global warming. And so I just wanted to start asking you, like, when did your interest or passion for sustainability and climate change kind of spark?
Actually, I was thinking about this because I don't really have like this one specific moment where I can remember like, oh, I just got into it. I think from like a very young age, that was like kind of my goal. It sounds really cheesy, but to do something to help the world or something. So kind of grew up with that. But also my mom and like the household I grew up in was very like organic and natural. So there was like this consciousness around like doing things like more sustainably, what we would say now. But I guess when I discovered veganism when I was like 16, 17, that was like probably the point that I could, you know, remember most, what I just my mind opened to lots of things, you know, and like injustices and problems of the world a bit more like profoundly because I was older as well. So yeah. I guess.
How old are you now?
22.
Okay.
Sometimes I have to think about it. No, 22. Yeah.
Yeah. And when did you start studying environmental communication? And like, what does that entail? Like, what courses do you study and how? I studied communication myself, but what is studying environmental communication like?
So I always say it's like a mix of media and geography. So it's like 60% media and 40% geography. And so we just have like media courses, like media ethics, media, like theory and stuff like that, or also practice-based stuff. But then we have like geography modules that we can choose, stuff like environmental issues or like sustainable development. So it's kind of like a mix. It's quite like separate the course itself, but it should be like a mix, like having like some other information aside from like media like tools and stuff. So nice. It's really cool.
It sounds really cool. What do most people like end up doing after studying that?
I think they go into NGOs or something, or they do like the sustainability department of like a firm, you know, like do like a sustainability manager or something. But it's like a small course, so I don't, there's not super like a lot of people. It's like four in our course, so I don't have I don't know that many people.
I imagine it's a pretty like new program as well.
I mean, it's quite also, yeah, you don't really have anything like that in the UK or in Europe that specific. Which is cool. Yeah, that's why I came here, because obviously I could have gotten it for free, the education somewhere else.
Absolutely. But you, I mean, you've always been into questions about the environment and global warming, but how has studying like environmental communication kind of changed the way you see it being portrayed in media and stuff?
So for me, sometimes it's kind of difficult to tell what of the things that I think about come from studying it and what come from like just being like me, and like, because it's such a topic that I engage with a lot in my own time as well. So a lot of it is like I read stuff and I listen to podcasts and watch videos and stuff. But I guess the biggest thing that I learned in uni from like how climate crisis and like the environment is portrayed in the media is the problem of it being always like a non-human topic, like really distant and difficult to identify with. So the whole nature culture divide is like something I'm like super interested in, thinking of doing like my dissertation on that as well. So it's, yeah, that makes it really hard for people to resonate with it. It's always like lots of imagery, like the polar bear on the melting ice cap and stuff like that, but like, what about the humans, because we're like affected by it. And so I guess that's something that I really like learned only from studying it. Going deeper into it.
How do you think you can get more people to care about it, like through media and through the way we kind of portray it?
To portray it as a human issue, because it is. Okay. It is a human rights issue. People are literally dying from it as well. It's obviously like animals are dying, ecosystems are collapsing, but it's always going to affect us. And if we don't, because now you can see with Corona and the pandemic, like everybody's, people dying, and everybody goes crazy and does things, and people actually stay at home. And it's incredible to see how quickly people have adapted. But what about climate change? Like, it's been happening for so long, and it's going to get so much worse, and it's going to affect people. Like, it is affecting people. So I guess human imagery would be really important.
Do you think people will continue to care about climate change, like in the midst of this Corona crisis, or like what are your thoughts on that?
I guess not everybody. People are like preoccupied, but some people obviously like compare it to that as well. Like what I just said, seeing how people react to this crisis and seeing how people usually react to a crisis that it's been going on for like a while and is really like bad, obviously, and how the media obviously changed their like way of reporting about the pandemic. It's like every single day you get like flash news and stuff. Well, what if we had this for climate change? Would be really interesting. So I think that's something that people do think about, and also because pollution levels are going down and like some positive things are coming off this pandemic for the environment, some people have been pointing out stuff like that, like dolphins coming back to like the coast of Venice and things like that, which is really cool that if we slow down, planet can breathe a bit. So it's still there, but it's obviously not going to be like the prime
it's kind of weird like reminding yourself in the midst of this like crisis, everyone's, as you said, like worrying about this problem right now, but then at the back of your mind, at least I'm thinking like, well, I've been worrying about climate crisis for like years, and now it seems so like irrelevant and almost non-existent. But then as things kind of slow down again, like, you know, it's always there, like it's not going away.
Totally. And it's like yet again, I think us younger people, now we have to step back to protect like the vulnerable and the older people. Because they are more affected by the pandemic. But can these people like step back to actually protect us and like the like children of the future and stuff, and like by voting for better people? And that's something I'm kind of frustrated about, that now we're like protecting some like other people, but who's gonna like fight, you know, for the kids like Greta and stuff like that? Because we're all gonna like be really, really, really affected by climate change in the future. So
absolutely. when we met up a couple of weeks ago for one day in New York, we hadn't met in a couple of years, and I can't remember exactly what we were talking about, but you mentioned that you felt climate anxiety, and it's something I've heard and seen a lot in like newspapers and online, but I've never actually met a friend who's actually said out loud like I have climate anxiety, and I guess I didn't have like the vocabulary to kind of say it myself, because I think I've been feeling it a bit too. But can you just try to describe like what it is and what it feels like? Because I don't think everyone really knows what it is.
So I guess climate anxiety is like part of like the bigger umbrella term of eco-anxiety, which is basically just the fear, the worry of this looming environmental destruction that's like inevitably going to happen, and all the consequences that will derive from climate change, and just not knowing, like being really helpless, not knowing what to do to stop it, like having all this information out there and being like, oh my God, it's just continuing, it's getting worse, what can we do? And yeah, being really like the future super uncertain and not knowing, like I don't plan anymore because I can't imagine, I don't know what's going to happen. So it's that kind of feeling of having lots of information but like not knowing what to do with it, because it's such a big thing that's gonna impact you, so many people around you and the world.
How do you feel it has affected your life, like overall your mental health or just life overall?
I guess it's like definitely, like I just said, I don't daydream or plan or something. I don't sit and be like, oh, I want to have like children and I have like a house, because honestly, like I think a big part of like my personal like eco-anxiety or climate anxiety is like the social upheaval that will come from the climate crisis, that we don't really think about it like immediately, but like there's going to be millions of climate refugees. Where will all these people go? And like things like this lockdown, obviously I couldn't have imagined it, but I think I worry about consequences that will really impact our like daily lives and like what we can do, like the freedom we have. And so it's like definitely something like that, like not knowing, like being like really frustrated with people as well, like friends who don't do enough, and like that kind of frustration and just like not knowing what the future will look like. And it's kind of disheartening, because you don't really know like what you can plan. And
So how do you react when friends, because I can imagine like a lot of people who may not experience it, or who just doesn't know what like climate anxiety is, or just doesn't understand it, like how do they react when you kind of express these concerns?
I don't express them enough, I guess. I think a lot of people don't really know that's true. And because I stopped with a lot of people, like I have lots of friends who think quite differently about things, and we're still really good friends, which is like cool. But I just kind of stopped being like the advocate of all the things, because it's like really tiring. But now through this pandemic, I kind of just realized, oh God, I need to like have the conversation with people again, like being like, have you actually thought about that? Like the people you're voting for and stuff like that. And to show them, like, if I'm like personally affected, if this like really stresses me out, like maybe they will, you know, think about it a bit more. Because usually it's just this like distant thing like out there, like affecting some future generation. But I don't talk about it enough, definitely.
I'm kind of the same way. Like I just get tired of myself and I get more stressed out just by talking, expressing my own concerns. And as you said, like since it is such a big issue, like people actually don't want to hear it, because it just like talking about it gives them anxiety, and like obviously no one wants to be anxious, so it's kind of hard to discuss. Do you have any ways of like dealing with this echo anxiety? Like is there anything you consciously do to kind of battle it?
Not enough. Like I had some really cool ideas that I wanted to do, but now I can't really do anything because of the lockdown. But like what I heard like from other people who have like eco anxiety, especially online, like advocates and like people I follow, it's all about like talking about it with other people who feel the same, like having like a community, being like understood, like with any problem that you're going through. I think it's like universal to like voice it and bring it out and stuff. And it's like going and like moving into action, because it's like that inaction that gives you the anxiety. You're like, oh my God, I can't do anything. I'm like, what's gonna happen? But if you like, what are the steps I can take? How can I like make a change in my community? How can I make a change, like, the place where I live, or like, what could I do beyond just like shopping plastic free and stuff like that? Because that kind of just was very like personal, but how can you do it, like, and actually make more people aware of it, like moving into action? And I guess usually also like going into nature and stuff, like being a connecting with nature is something that's always, you know, helpful and stuff like that. But inspiring yourself is also like will definitely help, like watching films that are not about the problems essentially, but about solutions. Like there's this film called 24. It's really cool. So
I read an article about going in, like out into nature and doing stuff too, to kind of appreciate it while it's there, and take advantage of it, like while it is still, you know, you can still go out and do all of those things. But I personally like I feel like I'm doing a lot to live more sustainable, and I've been an advocate for sustainability for a long time. I even made my like dissertation in college about sustainability and like small ways we can kind of change our own life to live more sustainable. And I made a short documentary about it, and I've always been like talking a lot to my friends about it. You know, I was in my old house in college, I was the one who put up a like a recycling guide. So you don't really want to be that person, but I had to. But like, what, even though I do all these things, I know that I'm still like a part of the problem, because I've lived the past like 5 years in two different countries. Like I've flown between the US and Sweden like every summer and Christmas. So even though like I do all these things, I know that I'm still like polluting way more than other people. And that's kind of created like some kind of, I don't know, like disconnect in myself, because I see myself as this like, you know, climate fighter, but I'm still doing a lot of shit. How do you, because I know that you love to travel, and I mean, we met on the other side of the world a couple of years ago. How do you kind of deal with that, your love of travel, but also this awareness of how much it's like polluting the planet?
I think definitely my opinion on it changed, especially this last year with the whole like Fridays for Future movement and stuff. I got called out on it a lot, like, because when I do talk about obviously like environmental stuff a lot, and like especially veganism and like really easy steps and or like overconsumption and fast fashion and stuff like that. So people always like, oh, but you travel, and I'm like, yes, that's so true. Like, you're right, and I'm aware of it. I always feel really bad about it. So part of it, like, I think for a while I was kind of like saying, I do all these other things so I can travel. So I just kind of made excuses for it. And also because, I read like some studies that say like, well, meat is so much worse than transport and stuff. But if you like calculate on like a single person, you know, going on a flight like transatlantic or something, it's still really, really bad. For me, it's difficult because my family's kind of spread out. Like, you know, you as well, you went home to visit your family. You didn't necessarily like fly around just for fun. Well, it was fun, but you know, so I do still have to, like, you know, long distance relationships and also like my family seeing them. But I think it's all about, I can't be perfect. We can never be perfect. And having this sense of like, there's perfection. We can't all like sail across the Atlantic, you know, we're not all Greta and we don't have the resources or, yeah, I don't know. So I think it's all about like, that's like a progress in the way you tackle it. So last year I flew much more. This year I'm like trying to cut down on it. Maybe next year it's going to be less. Or so it's all about like moving into the right direction, but not like being okay, I do all the stuff and it's perfect, I know what I'm doing. You're never gonna come at like arrive at this end and be like, I'm doing all the things that are perfect. So personally, I'm flying much less. I'm trying. I wanted to take a train to Athens on Easter to see my sisters, but obviously not gonna happen now. But I think personally, wanting like bringing this like the journey into the whole travel, like making the journey part of it, would be like, to make it exciting, going on a train ride across Europe is really cool if you have the resources and stuff. So I guess just changing your opinion a bit and like your view on travel could help.
No, I've been one. Yeah, for sure, because I mean I love traveling as well, and it's tough. I kind of called myself out on the bullshit, but I've realized in the last like 2 years especially, I think I've looked for other ways to travel, just like you did. Like I like I went to Europe last summer, but I like went on a train and everything. I took the bus instead of like flying. And just like doing more stuff like that, going on like adventures, maybe doing like more hikes, and also kind of exploring the area that is closer to. I mean, you don't have to go to the other side of the world to go for a nice hike, for example.
Yeah.
Like, there are plenty of stuff to do around you, and I don't think we kind of explore our like surrounding area as much, just because we don't expect there to be any adventures there.
Yeah, that's so true. But I also think, personally, like having traveled really like made me like a more conscious person, like having seen the plastic pollution in Indonesia with my own eyes, like swimming through like all the plastic, it's so horrible. That just makes me more so like adamant with the plastic, like back here. Like I know so many people who are more like lax about it and chill, but I'm really like, no, I'm not going to buy this and stuff because I saw it. So I think it's also there's some like really positive stuff, you know, if you see other parts of the world and then they get affected by something like climate change, you become more connected to it. So there's a positive as well, but it's super privileged. Like it's a privilege, like only 2% of the world flies annually.
Yeah.
That like 5% of the world has ever been on a plane. And for us, like for me to like go every like month somewhere, it's just ridiculous. So.
Absolutely. How do you think we can kind of sustain this sort of comfortable lifestyle that we're used to now, but still like working towards making our world better, and especially like in regards of the climate?
I think definitely some compromise is not going to be like the most comfortable. It's just compromising, being like, okay, I have to pay much more for this train ticket now if I want to do this. Also, like, it's going to take me 3 days instead of like one. So definitely compromise, but it's not good to give yourself up for something for a cause. I don't believe in that, because you need to be like happy and healthy yourself. So taking care of yourself and your mental health and stuff is still really important, because nobody like needs more like depressed people in the world. Like,
it's
definitely not gonna like help, but we won't have the same level of like comfort and like chill and neglect and stuff that we have right now if we want to like actually move into a better direction. But
yeah, absolutely. So what are some things you think all of us can do to kind of limit or decrease our environmental footprint?
Well, first is obviously for me,
besides going on flights all the time.
Flights, but definitely diet, because I always say, like, sometimes with flights it's like that's the only way you can go somewhere, right? If you want to go like cross an ocean. But there's like, especially living in like the places we live in, there's no excuse to not change your diet, to like eating less animal products and eating like local and eating like seasonal and all these things. So diet is like such a big thing, because you also spend so much money on it every single day, or like every couple of days when you go shopping. So don't expect everybody to go vegan, but like definitely like become a bit more conscious of it and research into it and stuff, like, so you have your reasons to cut out some things. Also, yeah, your consumption overall is like definitely like no fast fashion, like stop buying that many things, because we don't need that much stuff. It's also just kind of annoying to, like, I moved so many times in my life, so I just have less stuff because it's really annoying. Getting like buying products that are like long lasting and bit more expensive, obviously it's difficult, like, but you can buy like secondhand as well, so stuff like that. Definitely less like single-use plastic, very like straightforward, but like little things, but that can like really really impact something, because like as I said, you always move a bit. Like next year you might do like even more, but like if you start somewhere, like have that consciousness, like just research and like find out things, and it's really exciting to make new recipes and like to find new like clothing brands and support like cool local businesses and stuff like that. So
absolutely. I think for me the thing that has changed the most in recent years is perhaps like my view on like fast fashion. Like I was never a huge consumer of clothes, like I'm still young, I could never afford to go out and just buy clothes all the time. I've never kind of reached that point in my life. But I think especially in the last couple of years, like I would never go into just like, I don't know, H&M or some other big chain in like America somewhere and buy a t-shirt for like $4. Like, and I think I've gotten way more joy out of kind of looking to more ethical and sustainable brands. I mean, like Patagonia is just, I think that they're a great example, but there are other more like fashionable brands that also are very ethical and kind of transparent about the way they kind of, you know, how they, not only like from a sustainability standpoint, but also like ethical towards the workers and everything.
Yeah.
And I get way more joy out of spending way more money, obviously, for like a nice sweater. Because I feel good about buying it, and also supporting kind of a company that really are transparent about the way they do things. And I just feel better like wearing it because I feel like I'm doing charity when I'm wearing it. Well, I'm obviously not, but you know, it's better than buying something from like H&M.
And it's just gonna last you much longer. Like I'm so annoyed with like things that are like from fast fashion brands, and then like a year later, and like they feel like shit, you know, the quality is really shit. And also washing them, like, is a big thing, because if you buy, that's another really important thing I think to notice, like buying like cotton instead of like polyester, because if you wash stuff, hundreds and thousands of like little microplastics get like released during the wash into the water stream. So if you have like cotton, obviously it's like, it's not gonna like pollute, but if you have like all these plastic derived materials, it's really bad, as much as like if you wash them really often, it's just gets worse and worse.
You're in Bristol right now, right?
Brighton.
Almost the same thing. Do you have any like zero waste stores there?
Oh, it's amazing here. There's this new zero waste store that's actually a franchise from an Australian store that I always went to in Australia, like the Source Bulk Foods. Like when I found it, I was like, oh, back in like taking back is so amazing that you can find anything there. But there's also like other stores that have like bulk food sections, and Brighton is super green. There's so many secondhand stores, like organic stores, ethical fashion stores, boutiques and stuff like that. So yeah.
That's great. I think I was, I went into this huge package-free store in Brooklyn. And I think just for anyone to just go in there, you see that there are so many alternatives to like plastics, like things you've never even thought about. And I went there for like an event, like a kind of guided tour of all their products. And it's incredible just like going into those stores. And then, as I said, like realizing that, holy shit, like I've been buying this, whatever it is, like a toothbrush or whatever, but I could just switch it for this like bamboo toothbrush. Like there are so many more sustainable just swaps you can do that won't affect your lifestyle, but it's just better for the planet.
Definitely. And if you have the money, which is like, definitely I understand that, because bulk food stores will be more expensive a lot of the times, because they're also, a lot of it will be organic, and they need to, it's not like a big supermarket chain, so understand that some people can't afford it. But if you already have, like, if you have money in that way that you can spend a bit more on like better products, it's definitely like such a cool thing. And it gives you such a, like, it's just, it gives me so much joy when I like bring home all the stuff and I fill it in all the jars, because I buy lots of things that are in jars, like peanut butter and stuff like that, and then I just always keep them, and so I have like thousands of jars and then all the different like flowers and like oats and stuff. It looks really pretty, so
yeah, it's cool. That's really, like, just having I don't know what it is about containers, I just love having containers of stuff.
Yeah, it's so pretty.
yeah, and I think it's a nice thing to do as well, because then it becomes this like event that you can actually do, like on a Sunday you can go shop and then you come home, and it's like a thing. You just don't go to the grocery store, you actually go to this like nice market, you kind of talk to people, and then you come home, and it's like a ritual, which I think is pretty nice.
So nice. And also just it takes much longer to shop in a bulk food store, because you have to write down numbers, like depending on what the system is and weigh stuff, and you carry it home and then you fill it all in your jars, and it's like a quite like a mindful thing, and you look at the product, and it's so much, I don't know, I just really like it better than to just go and buy some sort of stuff and don't think about it.
I mean, you're obviously studying environmental communication in school, so I'm sure you have like textbooks and stuff, but what other resources, like books, websites, blogs, Instagram accounts, would you recommend for people interested in knowing more about this stuff?
Definitely, like, well, IPCC is like the website if you want like straight facts about climate change, right? But I follow lots of cool Instagram accounts. So some of these are like magazines, but they post lots on Instagram. One is called Atmos Magazine. It's based in New York City. It's one called It's Freezing in LA. It's a London-based magazine about climate change. There's an organization called The Slow Factory, which I think is also based in New York City. Lots of facts, a lot about the human like aspect of climate change as well, and like indigenous rights and stuff like that. There's Eco Age, which is like a sustainability consultancy, surrounding fashion. So there's lots of resources on that. They post like lots of they have like posts about places to go for like secondhand shops or like all these really like cool things. But it's definitely, I think just finding like little accounts that also like inspire you, like people who live like sustainably, Jack Harries is really cool. Alice Ed, she's a documentary photographer. And this film that I mentioned before is 2040. So it's this Australian filmmaker who made this film, and they post lots of resources, and they also post, they have like on the website, there's lots of things you can do in like yourself to like have like a positive, impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can just recommend people to follow you as well, because you post a lot about this stuff, and I feel like you're just like a hub for the information, because you just share it. So.
I think more like, in a bit low-key.
Exactly. Is there anything else I forgot to ask? I mean, obviously, we could go on all day, but...
Yeah, we could definitely go on all day. I think it's just, approaching the topic from like this, what can this bring to my add to my life that makes my life better, not just going into the whole conversation of like climate change and always being like, oh, my life's gonna like be worse and I'm gonna have to like cut down all these things, and always have this negative feeling towards it, because that's obviously how you can like stop the eco anxiety of getting worse. Mm-hmm. If you like find joy in like doing something as good and like being like, oh, just exciting or learning something, like being like, yes, I'm finding out the facts. And I think that's really cool, like for me, that's obviously why I studied as well, because I find it like interesting and to know stuff, really know about it, not just read about it on the news. So
That's great. Well, thank you so much for joining me here today. I hope we can do this again sometime, but it was really great. And I mean, this is still, even though with everything that's going on, it's still so important to kind of be aware of this. I don't want to give anyone more anxiety or be more stressed out about the world right now, but, just something to keep in mind. And especially
also,
now with like
people having time. Sorry, I didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
People have time. Like, if you're privileged enough to like stay home, you have time to like research stuff and like think about where you put your like money and like, maybe finding new ethical brands and
And now
articles and stuff.
Yeah, and I also think now that we're like heading towards summer, going to these kind of markets, are some of them are usually outdoors, so you know, if you want to practice social distancing, it's way better than going into a huge supermarket. But again, thank you so much. I'll leave all your stuff in the description and everything, all the movies you mentioned. Thank you so much. Take care.
You too.
I gotta get home, there's a garden to tend, all the fruits on the ground. The birds have all moved back into my attic, whistled and static. Young learn to fly, I will patch up the holes once again. Well, I can't believe that my laundry is dead. I thought it was sleeping, I guess it got fed up with not being fed. I will be too, I'll keep food in my belly and hope that my time isn't soon. And so I try to understand what I can hold in my hand, and whatever I find, I'll find my way back to you. And if you could try to find it too, cause this place is overgrown, it's a waxing moon. Home is wherever we are, if there's love here too. Well, home is wherever we are, if there's love here too.